Blog Talk Radio.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed, the number you have dialed is not in service.
What's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Cherie, Creative Dorm Room Television. We are back with our third installment for the Woman Making History radio series. We're almost done. It's the third interview, and this time we chose somebody who is a blogger. She is, I feel like she has her own lifestyle online, and it's so cool to follow. And I've been following her for a while, and that's why I wanted to interview her. Her name is Lisa Marie. Lisa, are you here?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for coming on, because I know, you know, you're really busy and you have a lot going on, but I wanted to make sure that we included you because you, to me, you are the essence of, you know, what our generation is when it comes to, you know, being a blogger, being online and, you know, taking that big step. So basically,
oh,
tell everybody
you.
A little
thank
bit about
you.
Yourself.
let's see. I'm 25. I've been blogging on and off for the past 5 years, which is a really long time in the blogger community because most blogs don't last that long. I go to Temple University. I'm a communications major, and I work a full-time job. I'm in school, so blogging is something that I'm passionate about because when I'm not doing other things that are a priority, it's what I spend majority of my time doing.
All right, so you just told us you're a blogger. You got so many other things going on. So tell us a little bit about your actual site.
So my site is my namesake, lisamarie.com, and it basically covers outside of beauty and events, which are two things that I'm very passionate about, events more so to bring a culture, a diverse culture to the blog, and beauty because I feel like every woman deserves to feel beautiful, whether it's makeup, shoes, clothes, however it is, internally, externally. Every woman needs that extra push sometimes to feel beautiful, so I like to give women those kind of tips and tricks that I know work for me to see if it could work for themselves, and if it doesn't work for them, to inspire them to find that. Outside of those two things, lifestyle in general, because I feel like our generation as millennials are discovering and doing so many new things, and the way that we think and the way that we behave is so different than previous generations because we grew up with technology, because we have all these cultural advances, because we're able to do pretty much anything now, that we've had to adapt to that. So we don't really relate to our parents' generations and past generations in such a way to learn from them because everything is so new to us.
Good answer, good answer. So in creating your blog, why did you name it after yourself and not, you know, because some people name a blog after themselves, some people name it after, you know, something like, I don't know.
Okay, so this is
something
funny.
Something else,
a
like an object or something, you get what I'm saying?
No, I get it. All right, so this is not my first blog. This is actually my third blog, but my first actual blog that gained attention was memoirsofmarie.com. And Marie is my middle name. Lisa is my first name, but my mom and I have the same name, so we have the same exact name. So I started hyphenating my first and middle name to give me my own individuality, and Memoirs of Marie was like that declaration. This is me as a person and not as my mom's second person or shadow. Me being trying to be a computer whiz, trying to learn coding, completely destroyed that blog and actually took a break from blogging for like 6 months because I was so disappointed in the fact that I did not get the coding right to update the system to look how I wanted the blog to look. But once I took a break from blogging, it's something I really missed, something I thought about every day, and I was already creating a name for myself on Twitter and Instagram as Lisa Marie. So when I went back to it, I said, you know, I might as well keep this brand going as myself. I am who I am. These are my thoughts. These are my passions. These are the things that I care about. I might as well make this a cohesive brand. And everything just became lisamarie.com, Lisa Marie S, Lisa Marie everything. So eventually you'll have a Lisa Marie talk show. You'll have Lisa Marie online. You'll have everything Lisa Marie at your fingertips.
That's cool. One of the things that I wanted to ask, because you said that it's a lot of and I get asked, not asked, but oftentimes when I go to events or anything where I have to be around other bloggers, I've always been told that bloggers are very egotistical, like yeah, they're very arrogant creatures because everything, like you said, is about I. So I wanted to know, is that an accurate, accurate thing that you, like, y'all create your own world, so to speak. So it's like when you interact with other people, it's like, well, it's all about me, or trying to get, you know what I mean, to that level with yourself. And it's weird.
But mm-hmm. I think, in my personal opinion, all creatives live in their own world. I don't care mm-hmm. if it's a blogger, a rapper, an actor, because you have to be in your own comfortable creative space. You have to live in mm-hmm. that space in order to create these things, in order to publish these things, in order to be productive. But it doesn't make you a selfish individual per se, because mm-hmm. I've lent my talents to other blogs. I've lent my talents to other avenues. I've without adding my name to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's mm-hmm. not always about me. It's more so for me about community. Do you have bloggers that's arrogant? Yes, but you're going to have people in every field no matter what that's arrogant. You have some people who aren't doing anything productive that are arrogant. So you mm-hmm. can't put this stereotype on every blogger, because that's just not going to work. Just like you can't put a stereotype on every actor. You can't put a stereotype on every rapper, every singer. You just can't do that, because if that's the case, you're never going to get to learn that person and learn what they're about and learn their creativity, because you're going to be missing out by stereotyping them as being whatever negative thing that you've already perceived them because of who they're associated with.
Makes sense. So on another note, I want to change it a little bit. What inspires you to actually write? Because so many times people want to start writing, and it's always interesting to see what makes them get up in the morning and sit behind a computer. And, you know, writing sometimes, you know, does not breed instant gratification like maybe another job or something else. You have to kind of play a waiting game. So what inspires you to actually keep, you know, waking up every morning and say, you know what, I'm going to write no matter what?
Okay, that's a good question. And the truth is, I write every day. I journal every
okay.
day. So whether it goes mm-hmm. on the blog or not, and what a lot of people don't know is every last one of my blog posts is written out first. It's handwritten mm-hmm. in a journal. So for me, it's not a matter of inspiration. It's a matter of, is this entry going on the blog or not? Because mm-hmm. my blog is very personal. Is sometimes I have to question, is this going to go on the blog or not? And honestly, writing has just become a habit. Whether I write 110 words or 1,500 words, I write something every day. Whether it's a quote, whether it's a full-blown story, like, I write something every day. So that would be my suggestion to people who do want to write. Write something every day. If it's 5 sentences, fine. It might not be a full blog post every day, but once you start writing something every day, that'll keep your creative juices flowing, and eventually mm-hmm. you'll be able to, for those times you don't have something to go on the blog, you can go back to a previous entry and say, hey, I haven't blogged that yet. I can add to this or add these two posts together and make one blog post, or, you know, so you will always have that to go back to.
Okay, like, all right, so I got what you're saying, but I always wanted to know, when people blog personal things or, you know, tell personal stories, like when I come on your site, because I frequent your site a lot, and I wanted to know, do you ever feel like you're giving the internet too much, or what is the boundary? Because I've come on many different sites, and I'll hear, like, really personal stories, and they're not anonymous. They have their name, they have their links, or even you, like, one of the stories you told about college and not, you know, having the best time and, you know, taking a break and da-da-da. So, like, do you ever feel like, well, I might be teetering on the line of giving people too much information, because usually, like, maybe at an event, or if you just happen to be walking down the street, people already assume that they know who you are. So how do you, like, balance that?
Honestly, I only share stories that I think people can learn from, and that's, like, mm-hmm. rule number one for me. It's not for gratification. It's because I feel like it's awkward that in this era of so much communication, so many people go through so many things alone, and they feel like they're so unrelatable, when in reality, a lot of us are going through very similar situations, and it can build relationships by sharing this information, by saying, hey, I went through that as well, and if you need an ear, or if you need just that support of knowing somebody went through this and can be empathetic to you, that's where that sharing comes from. And the second part of that is, when I first started blogging, I had a conversation with my mom about social media in general, sharing in general. And she was like, you know, you kids, you share too much these days. What I'm going to tell you as my child is make sure you keep something for yourself. Everything does not have to be put on a pedestal for the world to see. So some of the things I don't share, I keep it for myself. That's my own personal victory. That's my own personal win. Or that's my own personal low, my own personal lesson that I needed to get through. So it's a hard balance because you do want to keep something for yourself for whatever reason, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but you still want to be relatable and you want people to know that you are empathetic to whatever situation it is that they're going through. Like, I feel like, for me, I've been through so much that somebody can sit there and tell me a story and I could be like, oh, I understand how you feel. And even if I hadn't been through that exact situation, I could still support you through it.
So
it's definitely a hard balance, though.
And yeah, it is a hard balance because...
And people definitely get an idea of who they think you are because even with me sharing on the blog, you're not getting all of me. Like, you're not getting every detail.
You're getting a specific story. But it is one of those things where if you go and you see somebody who maybe knows you or likes your blog or follows you, they think they know, you know, they have, they feel, I don't want to say they think they know you, but they have a connection with you. Just like when you watch on TV and you see something, or even a reality show, and you connect with one of the people who are on there, if you see them in real life, you might think that that's how they are all the time, when in reality it was a snippet. You know, it was just a snippet of their life or their situation or their problem or whatever the issue was, but they connect with you. And I'm always interested in seeing how other bloggers or, you know, people on social media, period, when they have, like, a following, how do they, you know, still maintain being themselves while, you know, trying to keep up, like, the Lisa Marie brand? Because every day is not a good day. And, you know, you might have to interact with somebody when it's not the best hair day or the best.
My favorite thing to tell people, honestly, Sheree, is that bloggers live a lie. Every blogger. I don't care who you are, what you've been through. Every blogger has lived a lie one day. Like, we live a lie. I mean, I've had people who know me personally, have known me since childhood, who told me how interesting my life is and how great my life is. And it's like, you're never allowed to have a bad day because, like you said, you have to put on this forefront of your brand and what you want your brand to represent, and that's what you always have to be, or your brand begins to diminish. So you can never really – so you have to separate yourself from that sometimes and take a break. That's why, you know, you probably see a lot of bloggers go on hiatuses, especially from social media, from their websites, because you get so caught up in living this life and living this brand that you stop living for yourself. And until you can find the balance of living for yourself and living for your brand, you're going to keep burning out. And I've been there. Popular bloggers have been there. Not so popular bloggers have been there. My favorite blogger, Nicole Bitchy, Nicole Kane, she is one of the top bloggers in the African-American industry as far as entertainment. She took a break from blogging last year to live. She said she hadn't been on a vacation in 6 years because she was so busy building this website, building this brand. She missed weddings, funerals, vacations, and she was burnt out. Because she was so busy.
I was about to ask you, how does that, that was my next question, basically. How has blogging and writing enhanced or diminished your social life? Because I've come on, well, I mean, I can only talk about my site or me or what, you know, people that I know like you or anybody else. I could come on at 2:00 in the morning. If a story drops, it drops. You know what I mean? If the story is tweetable, right, it's tweetable. The news or the cycle of, you know, and the thing is people don't realize is that a blogger, which is going to lead into money, it's not just one thing. So how do you, you know what I mean, how do you say, well, you know what, let me just go to sleep. Well, let me just, how do you not, because you want to stay up there with everybody else. If you see, I mean, I don't care what nobody say, every blog or every writer or everybody who's on social media, they're looking at the social media pages or other people that are in their field. So if they up at 1:00, I should be up at 1:00. But is it the competition that keeps people, like, keep people going, or is it just like the need to want to make sure that you're still in that same pool when they say, oh, this person is my favorite blog, that you're unmentionable?
Well, for me, it's different because I feel like, and for people who have lifestyle blogs, it's harder because we don't have an entertainment aspect. So with that said, we don't have to stay on top of, for us, it's really quality. You have to continuously put out quality work. And that can be hard because if you have something going on in your personal life, like I said, most people, this is something that they do outside of work, outside of school, outside of family, outside of friends, outside of other responsibilities. Some days you don't want to, but you are, you have people looking forward to you putting out quality work, blog after blog after blog, post after post after post. So for the entertainment bloggers, yes, I think Claire Summers said it best from Fashion Bomb Daily. She was like, you know, when you guys are watching award shows or you guys are at a party, you're enjoying it. But me, I have to be taking down details and looking at who's wearing what. And by the time this event show is over or by the time this party is over, I have to have a post curated and ready with accurate information as to what my readers want. And I think that's how I feel about events. Like, I've gotten into debates with family and friends about having to attend at so many events because they look at it as me having a social life. I look at it as me building my brand as a blogger for event coverage and that specific aspect of blogging. And even when I'm at these events, it's not a social event. It's me taking in every detail and determining whether or not this event is even blog-worthy. Or when I put this on my blog, are my readers going to be open to this? Are my readers going to enjoy this? If this event comes back around, are my readers going to want to go after they read my write-up? So it's work because while you know everybody's drinking, dancing, partying, you're listening to the DJ. Was the DJ good? You're looking at the favors. You're looking at the atmosphere. You're literally writing a blog post in your head while you're at the event, and then you have to remember all of this for long enough. So it might seem like, you know, when you see bloggers and we're constantly on our phones, and we're not being rude. We're taking notes because you want everything to be as fresh as it was while you were attending the event when you translate that to words and put it on your blog. So that's for me and for, I know, other event bloggers and even fashion bloggers or, you know, even entertainment bloggers in general. You know, look how fast people have to do TV recaps. Look how fast people have to do event recaps. You know, it has to be within that time span because people's attention spans are so short now, you have to do it while they're still interested. So if I go to an event on Friday night, it has to be up by Sunday because by Monday we're talking about the events for
something
next weekend. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't want to read that anymore because the event has passed. I'm over it. It's gone. So it is hard because you want to balance. You do still want to have a social life per se so you can have that relaxing mode, but you're always in blogger mode. The question always is, is this a bloggable moment? That's what I ask myself after everything. Was this bloggable? Can I write about this?
So for people who want to become bloggers, just quickly tell them, like, how, you know, one of the big things that I always hear when people say they want to write a blog, but they feel like the blogger world is oversaturated. What would be your advice for them? Because if you say toenails, there's a blog about toenails. It's always, people blog about everything and anything. So how, and I think it's frustrating for a lot of people who want to create a blog because they're like, it's just too many, you know what I mean? So for that person, what would be your advice for them?
If you're passionate about it, do it. Don't do it for popularity. Don't do it for money. Don't do it for fame. Don't do it for any of those reasons because it's going to frustrate you. Do it because you're passionate about it and you're going to enjoy doing it because at the end of the day, while the industry is oversaturated, everybody is unique. Everybody has a special way about them. So while somebody can be talking about toenails one way, you could be talking about toenails a completely different way and pulling a completely different readership because somebody just might like the way that you write better. They might like your tone better. They might like your layout better. They might like your photography better. Whatever the reason is, while there are a lot of bloggers, there are triple, quadruple, many readers. And everybody's not going to be reading the same blog.
Oh, I know people who go to five, six different. I say the same thing.
Yeah, I know people who go to five different, six entertainment blogs a day. And it's the same stories. And I don't, for me, I really don't get that part, because on entertainment blogs, it's literally the same stories. So imagine if you had 6 entertainment blogs with the same exact stories, but you have blog A that's talking about pink toenails and toenail polish, and then you have blog B that's talking about orange toenails and matte polish. Like, it's just, you're different. Be different. Mm-hmm. Don't be and don't try too hard to be different. Be yourself, and I guarantee that being yourself is going to be the difference.
It makes sense. So this is Women's History Month, the whole reason why this radio series is going on. So what woman or women has been influential in your life?
I tell people all the time, the most influential person in my life directly was my grandmother. She was the bomb. Mm-hmm. Like, she passed away, but she was the bomb. She was just, like, so cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
Famous Oprah and Michelle Obama. Oprah, because mm-hmm. she has literally built an empire off of nothing. And I tell people all the time, even if you do not like her, if you do not like what she does, you have to respect her, because she is the ultimate person that has taken something and turned it into taken nothing and turned it into something so positive, and has really impacted a complete community by her actions.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Obama, because first of all, before I knew who President Barack Obama was, I knew who Michelle Obama was, because she was making her own history. She was the first black woman at her firm to make partners. She was the top of her class at Harvard. And I just feel like she is the full package. She's smart. She's beautiful. She shows women that you can have it all if you really push hard. You can have your own career. You can have the husband. You can have the kids. You can have it all. You just have to really want it all. And I just think that it's nice to have that kind of role model to look up to, and somebody who's not necessarily in the limelight in the way other people are. Like, if her husband wasn't the president, she still would be this woman who had herself together and had her life together. And we don't see that too often in our community.
I definitely agree with all the people that you said, even your grandmother, because my grandmother was very strict, but that's like wisdom right there. So one question real quick. Is there a difference in your opinion between a blogger and a journalist? And do you think that people, you know, kind of undermine a blogger in a sense because they are a blogger and they don't call themselves a journalist?
Yes, there is a difference, and people definitely undermine bloggers, but I see a shift happening. And
mm-hmm.
I actually, in my class that I'm taking right now, my society and media class, we had this conversation with a fashion journalist who she asked what was the difference between a blogger and she said a blogger and a journalist, and her answer was credibility. And she said that journalists are credible. You know, they give you facts, they give you straight stories, and bloggers can be persuaded, they can be swung in the direction of whatever they're supporting at the moment. And I, as a blogger, actually find bloggers more credible than journalists.
Mm-hmm.
That's me, though. And that's only because I've learned in the inner blogger community to trust whose opinions to trust, who's being honest, and who I can really look to for guidance in whatever the product, whatever the event, whatever is going on. And I feel like, in general, mass media is a lie. So that
mm-hmm.
is neither here or there. I feel like mass media, I won't even go into it, but I feel like mass media is just crazy lies all the time. Like, you cannot believe mass media. I think it's very unfortunate that mass media is fed to us the way it is, and that American mass media fails us all the time. So I don't trust journalists, and that's just me personally.
Okay, let's change the topic a little bit. Real quickly.
No, because people always ask me that, and I don't trust journalists.
All right. So finish this sentence really quickly. That was me then. What can you say that to?
So much. That was me then. When I didn't have confidence, like being a blogger, I used to look at my numbers and look at things, and I used to get so frustrated because
mm-hmm.
it's like, this is my heart. I'm pouring out into these words, and the numbers aren't adding up to the hours I feel like I spent behind the computer writing them. And I see other bloggers with more popularity, but their blogs posts were be shabby, to say the least, and it was frustrating, and it didn't really look how I thought it would look. And that's why I say blog for passion, blog because it makes you happy, blog because it's something that you really want to do. Because once mm-hmm. I gave up that thought, those thoughts, once I gave up that mindset, even my, though my blog is not where I would like it to be, everything started changing. It started looking more like how I wanted it to look. The opportunities mm-hmm. started being more of the opportunities that I would have liked before. So that was me then, and I just think a bout of confidence and knowing for sure that this is something that you would like to do is very important.
All right, now we're going to have a couple flash questions. Flash questions are questions that you answer off the top of your head. You don't, like, take a long time, you know, sitting in on it. So first question, favorite time of day to write?
In the middle of the night, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock a.m.
Dark chocolate or white chocolate?
Dark chocolate.
Oprah or Gail?
Oprah.
Pepsi or Coke?
Neither.
Jay-Z or Nas?
Jay-Z.
Rap music or R&B?
R&B.
The journey or the destination?
The journey.
Who is Lisa Marie?
A woman of Christ, honesty, and love.
All right, now let everybody know where they can reach you before we wrap this up.
Okay, my website is www.lisa-marie.com, and I am on all social media under Lisa Marie S, LisaMaries. That is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr. I am on everything, Lisa Marie S, LISSA. And you can find me if you have questions, if you have comments, just drop me a note and I'll be sure to respond. I love interacting with people. I love interacting on Twitter. Twitter is my favorite form of social media. So tweet me. Tell me if you listen. Tell me if you have questions. Tell me if you want to start a blog. Email me. Do whatever.
I feel like we got to bring you back because I feel like we didn't have enough time. There's so many questions. I had questions on top of questions when I started actually thinking about it. But we definitely have to do this again. And thank you so, so much for, you know, because you live a very full life and a full day. So
thank
you,
you
so much
for
taking the time out to come with us and chat. And you know, you've given a lot. I feel like you dropped a lot of gems and you kind of inspired a lot of people who want to take that next leap into blogging. And so for that alone, we appreciate you. And thank you so much for rocking with us.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to the last interview next week, and make sure you guys tune in next Sunday at 6 p.m. to listen into that, too.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for the plug that I was about to plug in. All right. Talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one.
All right, that was Lisa Marie, y'all. She was our third installment. I hope that if you were interested in starting a blog or creating a blog or, you know, taking that route that you tuned in. And next week we are doing the same thing all over again, and it will be with another great person who is M. Jones Imaging. She owns that. Can you believe that? A photographer who is a woman who owns her own company, and she will be sitting with us to basically talk about, you know, everything behind the scenes. A lot of times people don't realize that, who takes these pictures, who directs these films, who does that? It's not always a man. Sometimes it is a woman. She owns her own company. And if you ever thought about photography or any of those things, you want to tune in next Sunday at 6 p.m. This is your girl, Cherie. Make sure you go to Dorm Room Television, www.dormroom.tv, and follow us on everything. Twitter, Instagram, everything that you know on social media is Dorm Room TV. So thank you for tuning in with us. Make sure you're here next Sunday at 6 o'clock. It's going to be another great interview, and have a great week.